Hey, After Buzzers, the time has arrived. That's right, it is the Timeless After Show. Can I say time a few more times in this intro? I guess we'll find out. If not, we'll make more time for me to say time. Let's do this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Lord have mercy.
Look at that. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Timeless After Show here on After Buzz TV.
Hi, guys.
Yes. A whole new show debuting on NBC this evening. Very excited about this, and we're going to be breaking it down all this season. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie, and I am so excited to be hosting this show. I've worked with her many times, but always separated by an engineering room and a microphone.
Aww.
Now I do not have to have Alexis Torres at a distance. I get to have her right here next
yes.
to me. Yes!
Hi, guys. I'm Alexis Torres. If you don't know me, I'm usually the voice of the booth, but I am here at the table, ready to talk about some Timeless. You can find me all over social media at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890.
Oh, yes. And so, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hop in the chat. Let your feelings be known about what you think about Timeless, time travel just in general, or even just, you know, if you want to say some great things about Alexis, because
Aww.
She's amazing.
So, thanks, guys.
That's right. So, before we break into the episode proper, just
yes.
a little backstory for you. How long have you had this fascination about time travel?
So I think it will probably start with my stepdad showing me Back to the Future. It's definitely where it started. I don't know if Total Recall technically counts, but those are the two things that he showed me.
All right.
And then it was literally like, he's like, okay, I'm going to show you some movies. You might not like them. You might. I don't know. But the three movies I need to show you is Back to the Future, Total Recall, and Terminator. Those are the three things
Ooh.
That he's like, you cannot live in my household unless you know these movies. And I was like, all right, I got you, Dad. Let's do that. And I fell in love with those movies. And any other type of time travel, like TV shows and anything like that that came after that, I've always been really intrigued. And sometimes they're not very good, and sometimes they're really awesome. It just, I don't know. I've always found history fascinating because I've always, myself, ever since I was a kid, wanted to see what the world was like before, you know, you and I were here,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. And I know that we learn them from books and whatever actual video that we get our hands on, but I've always, like, if I ever won the lotto and it was possible for me to make a time machine, that would be my, like, main goal. Oh. I know everyone's like, you gotta pay bills and, you know, buy all that. I'm like, no. I would literally spend all my money to go see my favorite time eras and things
Absolutely.
Like that.
Because I think it's the much difference about just modern day. If you were to look at a book of Italy, you could look at those pictures, you could watch
yeah.
films shot in there, but it doesn't beat the experience of actually going right now to Italy and just seeing what that is like, just
yeah,
walking
I just
in those streets.
I know that we have stuff that's been recorded, but I want to see exactly like what the Roaring Twenties look like. I mean, I love, we'll get to that more into the pilot episode, but as a person of color, it is hard to find a place for you to feel comfortable in this time era, but I don't really care if I had like an invisibility cloak and I could just hang out like a fly on the wall at like speakeasies, and seeing Martin Luther King speak at the White House, or seeing just what, like I said, the Roaring Twenties, and seeing what that actually looked like, what films looked like before sound and then after sound. Like
mm-hmm.
those are like the top that I would try to hit as much as I could. See Lincoln speak. Like, I would love to see all of that. But the funny thing is, I would never have thought to see the Hindenburg. Like, that never crossed my mind to, like, want to see up close, because it's such a tragedy, I guess. But,
yeah, exactly.
Like, it's also a huge leap. So, yeah, I don't know.
Very true. Now, the two films that you did mention there, in addition to Total Recall,
I mean,
Back
we don't
to
have
future.
To talk about that. Dad just loves that movie.
I know, but
Schwarzenegger.
Well, of course, I can go wrong with Schwarzenegger. But
yeah.
Back to the Future and Terminator, I think those are really two great examples of time travel. One
yeah.
very more of a personal reason to go back in time and try to save just your own life.
Yeah.
And then Terminator, just you're dealing with humanity in general.
It's just crazy how to think that people, I mean, now looking at all the Terminators, is the fact of just how this one thing of like, we're here to go back for this one person, we need to kill her so that she doesn't have any kids, because she's the one that her offspring is the one that starts the revolution. Like, that's nuts to me. It's like just this one detail that you have to change. But again, because time travel is so sensitive, that it only takes one tiny little thing to fix, and like, everything in time and space is just done. That's it.
Absolutely.
Completely different.
And as it comes with every time travel show, they establish a set of rules for their universe.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's always a struggle for a lot of, whether it be a book, a TV show, or a film, just making sure they stay internally consistent with the rules that they set up. Because sometimes they will set up those rules and then break them, forget them, kind of circumvent them.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, just stay, keep your internal logic consistent.
So if you had the chance, like they were like, hey, there's a lottery and Frank was the one who won the lottery. No, like, not like a lottery, like the money I meant. Like, there's a lottery to time travel. You got to be one of those special people. They're like, you can only go to one spot, and you have 8 hours to do whatever you want.
Man. I
Where would you go?
I have to admit, it would be cool to see. You brought up Lincoln. I think to go see the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah, I would love to see him speak.
That would be amazing. So cool. You've heard so many people interpret that speech, throughout the ages. But to actually see it come from Lincoln's own mouth, and just the way his intonations were and the way his inflections and the way he delivered, it would be amazing to hear.
Was that the speech that there's no actual written record of it? Because there's one speech by Lincoln that apparently nobody actually wrote down what it said because everyone was so enthralled by the speech itself.
I wouldn't doubt that. I would not doubt that. That's really awesome because I actually didn't know that. Like, at all. Like, I didn't know there was, like, a speech that just people were just so into it that they didn't, they didn't write it down. Okay.
Whoops, we should have written something down.
It's too late.
Start from the top.
Could you start over? Just be honest with us.
Well, as Alexis was mentioning the Hindenburg, that kind of ties us in at the beginning of the Timeless episode.
So
start breaking that
crazy
down here. Basically, we see the Hindenburg landing, which, as you mentioned, that is not a time period often visited. And it was cool.
Yeah. I mean, like, we were talking about it before. I was like, I wonder why the writers or the director or whoever decided to choose the Hindenburg to start. You know what I mean? Like, you could have gone – I mean, I'm not saying that was a bad thing. I think it's awesome that you chose that. I just think it's very interesting. Out of everything in history, you chose the Hindenburg landing to change time. I think that's cool. But obviously, we were going to know more about it as time goes on. That's going to kill me with these time puns. But I just – I don't know. I thought that was really cool.
Well, I like the idea. If you're going to do something, you might as well tread over, I mean, I don't want to say fresh territory, but I mean, things that aren't very commonly visited in a lot of time travel productions. There. So, like, let's see something we don't often get to see.
Yeah. No, I think, again, I like the thing that they chose. I just think it's interesting. Like, was there a dartboard? They're like, okay, we have the Hindenburg. We have this, and this. Whoever throws a dart, that's what we start with or something. Or if they actually, like, took the time to talk to a historian and, like, really find out, again, as we will talk about it more in the episode, of, like, who was on it and what they actually did. And how it will affect time.
That's true.
And
we're talking a lot about the creators for the show. This was actually created by Eric Kripke and Sean Ryan.
So I love you, Eric Kripke.
There you go.
I'm a Supernatural fan.
That's right. Yes. Supernatural fan. And then we've got Sean Ryan from The Shield, as well as many other series. Mm-hmm. So now, two great tastes that hopefully will taste even better together. You want to eat the show.
I want to eat the show.
All right. Well, there you go.
But if you guys got to see our Comic-Con coverage, we actually got to talk to the creators of the show and a few of the cast. You should look that up. Just look up Timeless Interview Comic-Con with AfterBuzz TV. You'll find a really awesome person. Her name is Markia, and she was the one that got to interview everybody. So we actually talked about not the episode, because they couldn't tell us a lot about it, but they were the crew and cast are so awesome. So I would definitely check it out if you have a chance. But anyway.
And they were even willing to, off camera, say how jazzed they were about the
show. No, yeah. I think his name is Malcolm, the guy who plays Rufus. He was talking about how jazzed he is for this show. And he talked about it on camera and off camera. And he was, like, really excited for people to see it. So.
Oh, man. It's exciting. Speaking of the cast, Malcolm Barrett, of course, we have there. We also have Abigail Spencer, who I love.
She wasn't there at Comic-Con. It made me sad.
Oh,
only the dudes were there.
Oh, the dude. Well, speaking of dudes, we've got Matt Lantner. And then, of course, our supposed villain. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll find out more
about
his motivations.
He's so tall in person. It's scary.
Gorn Vishnik.
Yeah, his last name was very hard to pronounce. We're like, before we get on camera, could you tell us how to pronounce that so that we don't mess that up? And also, Matt's eyes are that blue in person.
Oh,
so,
all right.
Ladies.
There you go. Just fall right into those baby blues.
Right? Sorry.
But we get to see the Hindenburg crash, and we also see, we kind of dwell on briefly, a photographer that's covering the landing there. And even a sailor comes by with the, whether it's him being really impressed by history or also trying to come on to a photographer, or maybe both.
Well,
aren't you a little too close to the action? And sure enough, we find out that she is, because even though she's recording it, she's still too close to the impact zone and gets kind of swept away in the ensuing explosion.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. But she did a lot of great things. So, and I like that... oh man, I forgot her the character name, but she was like, today is her day, you know? So yes. I thought that was interesting.
Lucy.
Lucy, thank yes. you.
So we go from that disaster, and then we cut to present day. Mm-hmm. And we see Abigail Spencer plays Lucy Patton there. She's kind of our entry point into the series.
Yeah, and she's a historian professor?
History, anthropology. Yeah. So she's kind of a world class, as mm-hmm. Homeland Security mentions it later on in the episode. Quite. But we find, even regardless of being so world class, at least thought of outside the university, within the university, her tenure meeting is going to be canceled. So
that's so crazy. I've been seeing a lot more TV shows that have teachers in their lineup talking about tenure, and I just thought that was very interesting how that's like a huge thing, you know.
How do we get tenure here at AfterBuzz? I just want to make sure.
I know, ask Steven, he's the one.
All right, Steven, how do I get tenure? Steven,
just tell don't me screw up.
There okay, you go.
Cool. All right.
Good to know.
Good pep talk. All right, I'm excited.
I loved that.
So we find out that she doesn't get, she's not going to get tenure. So she goes home, and her mother, who basically founded the department, she is incredibly ill.
Yeah.
Bedridden, basically almost like comatose, it seems.
Yeah,
like.
And we didn't get what she actually had, right? I mean, I guess they didn't want to go into it because of the fact that, we'll get to that at the end. But yeah, it was, and then her sister Amy was taking care of her while she was at work.
Yeah, and it felt like it. Oh, I guess you can't help but having when you have a show that deals with time travel, you can't help but have some of the characters kind of have lines that kind of allude to like somebody's going to be traveling in time
right?
pretty soon.
Yeah,
like when she says, "Don't worry about the disappointing mom; make your own future."
And I was like, "Amy, Amy, what are you trying to say?"
And then she slowly turned and winked at the camera.
No, just for us though, just for Frank and I. We're like, nobody else caught that.
Oh, all right.
It's just an AfterBuzz TV special for us.
Exclusive. From there, we cut to a facility, like a scientific research facility. We're not exactly sure what's going on.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even know where it was or anything. It looked like they were in some, like, abandoned warehouse with this giant, it looked like the ABC eye or whatever.
Yes.
That's what it looked like to me. I was like, huh.
Some kind of futuristic network building? I don't know.
NBC, what are you doing?
And we see Rufus. Malcolm Barrett playing him. He's kind of walking around this
Malcolm.
Little.
I love you, Malcolm.
There you go. He's a charming looking man.
Oh yeah, I know. I met him in person.
Oh, well, of course.
I could not stop smiling. It was so bad. I was like, I'm sorry. I can't be professional right now because you're just so awesome. Sorry. He knows.
That's what a great life. And people apologizing just because you're just too awesome.
You're just so awesome.
You make me smile. Please. I'm so sorry.
Let me leave now. Don't look at me.
And then we get a little cameo from Matt Frewer, good old Knock in the Middle fame, or Orphan Black, a variety of other series
he's
that you've watched.
A lot. Yeah.
He's amazing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you don't cast somebody like that unless he's going to play into a little bit further into the season.
Mm-hmm.
So he's too big of a name just to have kind of blip in like he does here in the pilot.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, but I'm like, we'll probably see him more.
So. Yeah. And then we got good old Goran just outside the facility with one of his henchmen, and he's got a book with a bunch of writing in there, some kind of drawings and scribblings and stuff in mm-hmm. there. And basically, you get the idea that he has a little future knowledge. Something in this book's kind of instructing, like, yeah, there's like.
I thought it was just notes that he was just taking, you know, to lead up to this point, and maybe he was just following through, double checking. You know, I had no idea what this book actually had in store until way later. And I was like, oh, wow, that's really important. Okay.
Well,
this sucks.
For me, I was thinking all of a sudden like River Song's Diary from Doctor Who, where it has, you know, a bunch of that.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. Well, oh, man, I didn't even put those two together. I also forgot to mention that I love Doctor Who.
It's too late. Yeah, it doesn't exist now. Oh. Sorry. No, Alexis no longer even knows what Doctor Who is because she did not mention it at the top of the show.
I'm a terrible Whovian.
But good old Goran, he breaks the facility, starts shooting up some guys, basically takes the time machine,
mm-hmm.
disappears, a little pop.
Yeah. I love how that even said on our caption, Sonic Pop.
Yes.
And that was it. And I was like, all right, cool.
So what we're thinking about time travel as a device there, there's many different ways to travel in time.
Yeah.
You have like Time Cop, that weird kind of like sling shot of a vehicle that you have there.
You
get the DeLorean, of course.
Oh, I think that's always going to be my favorite. I mean, the TARDIS is awesome because I just love how it looks just like a regular police box. And then it's just this giant room.
Yeah.
But I don't know. DeLorean just has some style.
Very true. What did you think of the way this happened?
I liked it. I mean, we don't get to like spend a lot of time inside, and it looks, I also feel with Lucy because I'm also claustrophobic, and I would hate to be in there. That's probably why I like the TARDIS so much, because I'm like, look at me, room to wiggle. I don't know, but yeah, I think that the lifeboat looks a little rough. I feel real bad.
Yeah, the lifeboat's the prototype of basically our time travel, which is basically it's synced up with CPU. They are married together, so they can find out when each other are, but they can't exactly say where
each other are. That's like, and I love how he was just like, "Yay, time travel problems!" And I was like, "Yes, hashtag time travel problems."
Don't we have them all?
I know, but I liked the actual mothership. It looked very sleek. It kind of reminded me of like HAL, you know. And I don't know. I thought it was very awesome. And then they brought up the clunker, and I was like, "Aw, look at you, rough around the edges. It's okay. You're gonna get us through some tough times."
Now, see if I'm wrong. I thought when they were actually making their break at the beginning that they took Matt Frewer with them.
I thought so too. So, I was very confused. I mean, I think they took maybe a couple people. I don't really know because it was kind of moving pretty fast.
Yeah.
Some people got shot. Some people got out. But it looked like they brought a couple people with them. I could be wrong. So we do have a live chat. So please go ahead and tell us in the chat because I'm watching it live. And if there was actual like hostages that they took, or if it was just the one,
because
it was hard for me to tell.
It was interesting because once they gather the team, at no point do they make reference like, you know, hey, guess what? They also took Matt Frewer. We don't know why, but
we just like they're like you have to go get them, and I'm like, okay, or go get him, and I was like, okay, what about everybody else? How many people did he take with him? I need to know these answers to my questions. So yeah, it was weird. I don't know. Maybe we'll get more of it. Maybe they just didn't have enough time. Oh God! This is gonna just. Bing. I'm gonna bring a bell, and every time we say the word time, I'm gonna hit it. That's what's gonna end up happening. The time bell.
Here's where I felt like the writer showed restraint because I was thinking, is this line gonna come? Is this line gonna come? It's like after they disappear and the police break into the facility, I tell everybody to put their hands up at the head. Where are they? Where are they? I was waiting for Rufus to say, "Don't you mean when?" But he didn't. He showed restraint. They didn't say that.
I would have just exploded with anger. I would have been like. Stop it.
And then we come back. Lucy gets visited by Agent Kendo from Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
Takes her back over to the facility, throws her into a room with Wyatt Logan from Delta Force.
Oh, yeah. Where he was, looks like he was sleeping.
Yeah, when's the last time you heard about every time I think of Delta Force, I think about Chuck Norris and like that old movie. That's the only thing I think of. Like, when has Delta Force been referenced?
Again, never put the two together. That's awesome. Oh my God.
All right, when's the last time Delta Force has really been talked about a lot? Oh, okay.
My grandpa loves Chuck Norris way too much for it to be healthy. So, no, because like it's funny because the not to get too off topic, but the martial arts that I learned after Muay Thai was Tung Soo Do, and that's what he actually has a 10th degree black belt in.
Chuck Norris?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
It's American. And Tung Soo Do, that's what he's famous for.
Is that how they teach you to fight in really tight jeans?
Yes, that's exactly. When you do your testing for your black belt, you have to wear tight 80s acid wash jeans.
Love it.
And you have to kick people and try to push the ground down, not actually do a push-up. It's really hard. It takes like 7 days to get your black belt.
I've seen probably way too much Walker Texas Ranger.
That's my grandpa's favorite show.
There we
would
go.
Sit there and he's the best. I'm like, no, Bruce Lee is the best dad, but we don't have to get into that. Or grandpa. We don't have to do that.
Now, we find this facility is under the purview there of Mr. Connor Mason. Seems like basically like the Steve Jobs of time travel.
I was going to say, I was like, this suave mofo over here. Yeah, he was like, yeah, this is happening. We made a time machine.
Very nonchalant.
No, didn't even try to hide it. He's like, this is what, you know, he did the example of how time works. And I love how, as soon as he, curved the paper, I was like, oh, you could just say we're doing time travel. You don't have to go around the bush about it. And I love how Lucy was like, are you saying that we're talking about? And I'm like, just say it. Just say time travel. We get
it. That's all you gotta do.
Get to the point faster. I don't know. It was really interesting how they were trying to kind of milk the line. And I love how he was like, yes, time travel. Okay. Come on, let's go. We have things to do and no time to waste.
Ah, yes.
I need a bell. I'm going to find one.
I was waiting for him to just take the ball of string and then just kind of put it up and then just be like the Sam Beckett quantum leap method. If you take the string and then ball it up, all the different points of your life can touch each other.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not allowed in this version of time travel because one of the rules they establish is that you can't go back to a lifetime where you exist.
Well, because it's true. Because remember, every single time that we've seen anything that's in... Thank you. TV, where we have some sort of time travel. Damn it, I knew you were waiting for it, too. We always get that one episode where they had to travel back and they end up meeting their double, or they see before, like, the most recent thing that I can think of is Family Guy, where Stewie and Brian always have to go back, and they're always catching up with themselves. Like, that episode was crazy, and I'm glad that they brought that up, so, but I'm also thinking, not to get too much into predictions, that they are going to have a double episode, because they have to, or something.
But yeah, because I, well, I mean, I guess time, you know, there's certainly so many different places in time that you can go to. So there's
This is going to be so bad. This is. Thank you, Stephen.
For sake of sanity, I'm going to stop.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
But I also think, like, boy, you're really kind of limiting a lot of, like, potential storyline. Because, you know, there's always that thing where you end up visiting yourself as a young child and you're like, oh, do I feel like that's different
seeing you as a young child instead of you going back, like, how oh, gosh, I'm trying to – I only remember the actors' names. I'm trying to remember the character names.
Rufus?
No. Matt's character, Wyatt, where he talks about – he's like, why couldn't we just go back, you know, 5-10 minutes before he got here and then I could shoot him in the face? And I'm like, no, because then you'd see – you don't understand how time travel works. But I like that Rufus was like, no, you can't – we have the problem of having doubles. You can't go back to the same time that we were just at. It causes problems. And I'm like, yeah. Have you not seen anything on the – never mind. I'm not going to start ranting, but yeah.
Well, I think we saw Back to the Future 2, and that worked out just fine.
Sure. Yeah. Totally. Anyway.
Yes. But we do find out if you go back and you see yourself at least as an adult version, perhaps, that it doesn't work out well, and you probably don't come back in one piece.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's less of a risk to see yourself when you're younger because, I mean, your parents will never know that's exactly what you're going to look like when you grow up. But seeing yourself again within, like, a year or two, whatever, maybe when in your adult life, I feel like that's way too risky. You know?
Yeah. I am tired of the time travel trope where you go back to see your parents and they don't recognize you, but there's just something about you.
Yep, every time. Like, and I think that's going to end up happening at one point. We're going to go back in time for something and we're going to see it and it's just going to be like, wow, I love that name. And I'm like,
thanks. But all of a sudden, you know, Homeland Security says, which I like that they are just right on board, like, this is a time travel machine. You know, Flynn has got this. He's killed his wife and kids a year
ago. Allegedly.
And now he's gone back in time for some reason.
Yeah.
But they, whatever it is, they think it's not good.
I thought it was, like, the ancestry or something of like, his wife and kids or something, maybe. That's going, like, way too far. But that's what I was assuming was that he wanted to see, like, I don't know, like, his wife's mother. Or grandmother, or something like their great, great, great ancestors, or something like that. Just because I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just trying to figure out, like, what personally, why would they tell us that he killed his wife and children, and then go back to the Hindenburg? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, it feels like he's setting something up in motion.
Yeah, so I thought it had something to do family related, but clearly that wasn't the case because he was still trying to blow it up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll get into reason, speculate about some of the potential reasons.
Sure.
But then, so they assemble our team, and Rufus is going to go along because, as Connor Mason says, you know why you have to, Rufus. We don't find out exactly why Rufus is so essential to this team.
I mean, I was assuming it was because Mason wanted to just learn about what actually happens there. From a first person's perspective, I guess, or a fresh person's perspective. I don't know how else you want to put it, but I feel like he just wants to learn a lot. So, you know, tell us what you've seen. I mean, again, not to get too far into the episode, he had the recorder and stuff. So I'm like, I feel like he's up to something, but I don't know if it's for good or for bad.
Yeah.
Because Rufus doesn't feel very comfortable doing it either. So it seems like it might be a little shady, but
that's true.
I can't really tell.
I guess you might want your own inside man for all this time travel shenanigans.
That's also true. Like, what are you doing? You know, are you changing time? I want to be ready for it. And then maybe it could affect me in some way, maybe for the good, you know, or for bad. I don't know. So I don't know. He does seem kind of shady, and I'm kind of interested to see what he actually wants.
Yeah. What I did like is they spent a little bit of time just saying, hey, if you're going to be traveling to a different point in time and we're going to be wearing clothes, we should try to be as period close as possible. So,
but I love how Lucy, because she's so good at her job, she knew, she's like, this fabric wasn't invented back then. The skirt was from the 40s. We're going to the 30s. And yeah, I loved how she just picked up on that. And speaking of the clothes, I really loved the wardrobe for the pilot, and I'm hoping it continues through on, which I'm noticing at least in the teaser for the next few episodes to come. But the costume looks real. Like, the costume and the set design is so good.
Yeah, I mean,
it looks amazing. Sorry.
If you're going to do a time travel show, I mean, then you just know you have that you have that challenge placed upon you that everything's got to look right, because you know there's going to be so many people wanting to just nitpick it, like, wait a second, that wouldn't have been that time period.
Yeah, but I like that they brought, but at least this character, Lucy, brought it up of how, like, I mean, even though I'm not an expert of knowing, like, okay, what fabric shirt are you wearing? Is that mesh? I don't know what that is. And knowing that that wouldn't be an actual thing at that time period. But I liked, again, seeing... oh my gosh, I'm terrible with names.
Wyatt.
Rufus. No. Our reporter that died.
Kate Drummond.
Yes. Drummond's pants.
Oh, yes.
Did you see that? Yeah. Like, I liked seeing that and her in her full jacket and scarf and everything, and then seeing all the reporters with their hats and their full trench coats, and then, like, even, like, the microphones, too. Like, everything was just so well put together. And I love that you didn't even – nothing pointed out to you. Like, you're like, yes, this is the era. We're in the 30s. That makes sense. Everything looks great.
Yeah, everything. You just you visually just like, okay, all right, cool. Yeah. You don't even really think about it too much because it just seems right
to you. No, because, like, you and I would know, like, if you're looking at something that has to do with time travel, you're kind of like, you could tell that you would have that pair of pants somewhere in your closet. And you're like, wait, that's not supposed to be there. I mean, I've seen some. I can't remember exactly what it was, but there was, like, a guy who was supposed to look like he was in the 40s, but he was wearing Converse. But you're not supposed to see his laces, but, like, you can clearly tell that they're sneakers. And I was like, oh, come on, you're better than that. I can't remember what TV show it was, but they were trying to be a certain era. And I was like, nope, totally saw Converse back there. It was probably, like, an extra that didn't have time to change or something. But I was like, come on, do better. Yeah.
I guess I definitely would have known it was period inappropriate if the cameraman and the reporter watching the Hindenburg had been using, like, a selfie stick and was just recording his...
Then. Can you imagine? That would be so silly. Like,
wait a minute. What this guy's... What's happening here?
Yeah.
But so the team gets ready. They hop into there. They're ready to hop into the lifeboat to go back and find out. They know the date that a good old Flynn went back to, but, of course, they have to figure out where... Lucy, knowing that time period, or at least that
knew.
Date.
Yeah, knew so about the Hindenburg.
Yeah, so that's got to be the reason that he's there.
Yeah.
Something around that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out if you're going to ride in the left boot, you got to wear a lot of seatbelts.
I mean, time travel is no joke. That sounds like a very rough ride, and it looked like a rough ride, especially for poor Wyatt. He looked like he wasn't having a good time. He looked kind of dizzy and disoriented, which is so funny because he tried to seem so cool and collected when we started because Lucy was, like, freaking out. Again, I'm totally claustrophobic, so I would have hated it. But she got out of that thing just fine. She fell, but she was like, okay, now I'm back. I got my sea legs. Here we go.
But you saw Wyatt just as soon as they landed.
I thought he was going to puke.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
And he didn't do it. I was like, all right, Wyatt, good for you, buddy.
You know why? Because he's Delta Force.
Oh, whatever.
That's right, man.
Whatever.
Chuck Norris don't puke.
That's true.
Wyatt don't puke. That's right.
I'm waiting for it. I hope one of these days it's going to be just really terrible. One of the rides is just going to get him.
And so as they're making their way into town, since they kind of park remotely, Lucy breaks down kind of how the Hindenburg exploded, which was cool to know. I mean, I've always heard of the explosion, but never heard all the science behind it.
Yeah, I thought that was also very interesting. That's why I'm really excited for the show to actually give us more details about history that maybe we didn't remember from, you know, learning in school, or just something that we just completely missed that historians would know about.
Yeah, so that was really good. So you kind of feel like, all right, this is how it goes down. We're going to see how Flynn is going to try to change that to prevent the Hindenburg, or at least whatever his mission is, but it seems revolving around the Hindenburg.
Yeah.
And then they make their way into town, and I do like the moment there, like, much like you were saying, what would it be like to go back to the 1920s or something like that and experience that life right there in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy has that moment, too, when she gets into the town and just is, like, taking it all in for a
second. Yeah, because it's a whole different world. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, man, I would love to just walk around. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, streets look different. Cars, parking, like, everything is completely different, and you have to just be ready for that because it's just the way of life. Like, even, like, the things that you say, which I loved when they were at the bar and asking around, and I believe it was Wyatt who was like, hey, how's it going? And he's like, going where? I was like, oh, that was really smart. I would have never thought of somebody not being able to respond to that, because we do that all the time. We're just like, hey, how's it going? And you're like, it's going good. And someone's like, going where?
Yeah, what do you mean going? I'm right here.
I'm right here. Why is he wearing pajamas? I love how that was the running joke. I loved that so much.
And they get to the bar, and as they're in there, Rufus, of course, feels like the odd man out. And he's already been kind of reluctant to go on this trip anyway just because of the racial kind of...
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. As soon as he was like... When Rufus talked to Mason and told him, like, how he felt about going back in time with them, he's like, I don't know why I have to go. Obviously, we know he knows that why he has to go, but he's like, history is not, I don't know if you know this, but I'm black, and history is not a good place, anything in American history is not a good place for me. And I love that we got that immediately as they got there. He's like, the back of the bus was great.
Yes.
Like, that's it. He didn't go into any more detail. He just, that was exactly what it was. And then they got into the bar, and he just felt extremely uncomfortable. And he wasn't really, like, dressed for the era, too, kind of. Yeah. So he kind of stood out way more than he wanted, clearly. So that kind of sucked.
Yeah, and so he and Lucy agree that, well, yeah, I guess standing outside is probably a little better than standing inside.
But I love it because even people were still staring. I thought that guy was going to start trouble, the guy who had his hand in his pocket. Yes. I was like, oh. What's he gonna do? And I love how, like, Rufus just kind of backed up into, like, this little weird corner so that no one could see him.
Because he wasn't helping himself at first. It felt like he was just kind of pacing around, like,
I don't blame him. He was just nervous that he was gonna get hurt or killed or something.
Don't pace. You look too shady. Pace.
No, like everybody already thinks that you're shady. You pacing back and forth with your hands in your pocket looking sweaty.
Yes. No, so you're right. He did the smart thing, just kind of ducking back in.
He's like, I'm just gonna hide back here.
Pay no attention to the black man.
In the corner. I'm just hanging out.
At the bar, though, they do see Kate Drummond. And that's when Lucy says, oh, my gosh, that's Kate Drummond. She's over.
Talk about that actress. Gorgeous, right?
Yes. Oof. Give us one of your patented.
I can't do it now.
Oh, there it is. That she's a writer and photographer for the Hearst magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So world-renowned. Wyatt sees some kind of like he's drawn to her.
As soon as he made those weird googly eyes at her, I was like, oh, he probably lost his wife in something.
Ah, nice.
And I love how she was just like, what are you doing? And I love that he immediately went up to her and she knew that he was a soldier. It's very interesting.
Yes.
But she's been around enough soldiers to just know how. And so I thought that was kind of cool how, I guess, soldier behavior hasn't really changed, I guess.
No, I mean, I guess that's true. I mean, I guess, you know, there's such a regimen there that almost seems timeless in terms of that. Thank you. And I even said the name of the show. Bingo. That's how you do it. All right. No, because I guess one thing that they always say, and they say it in the series too, is that, you know, you want to reduce your carbon footprint, so to speak, your time carbon footprint. So you don't want to talk to people. You don't want to try to change the past at all.
And I love how Lucy was like, Wyatt, come back here. Because, like, immediately he's like, I'm going to go talk her up because I think she's cute. And also she looks like my dead wife. Jeez.
So just aside, go on a tangent for a second. You get that wish. You get a chance to go back and you get to see Lincoln speaking at the Gettysburg Address.
Crazy.
Would you be content just to watch him do that speech and take off? Or would you say, oh my gosh, when am I ever going to get a chance to ever talk to Abraham Lincoln?
No. I've seen way too many time traveling anything. I will keep my mouth shut and I will enjoy the fact that I am here. I have the opportunity to be in this place and actually be able to witness it. I will probably never tell my kids. Well, I might make up some stories because they're little and I can do that. But I can't do it.
So would you would never do this and would never tell anybody for the rest of your life?
I think the only time I would ever talk to somebody would be probably Martin Luther, because I feel like it wouldn't really matter. I mean, I guess it wouldn't matter with Lincoln either, but I don't know. I feel weird because I would be like, don't go to the theater. I mean,
Yeah, that is a big struggle, you know, trying to figure out how you handle time and meeting somebody that you know is going to die. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would try to prevent King too, but I feel like his death meant a lot and it changed a lot for time as well. But I think I would rather, because I guess with Lincoln, it would be hard to relate to his advice, I guess, to a point, which is kind of weird to say, but just in general, like I would rather listen to Dr. King tell me something about what was happening in that time, because it's just a tiny bit more relatable than talking to Lincoln back in the day of, like, I'm having some boy trouble or something, you know? I mean, that's not what I would talk to Lincoln about, but it would just be...
No, you wouldn't? No.
No, I mean...
What do you think, Abe? Should I ask him out?
Think I should tag him to the theater? No, don't go to the theater! I don't know. I think it would be cool to talk to him. I feel like I would be too scared to talk to him, but for some odd reason, because we've learned so much about Dr. King, because he's just one of those idols I would love to meet, I wouldn't mind talking to him, and it wouldn't bother me as much. But I don't know with Lincoln. I don't know why.
No, it'd be tough. It's easy to sit here in this room and say, like, oh, I would be fine. I'd just be an observer and just kind of go on my way. But to be in that moment.
No, I'd probably break everything I just said right now. I'd probably talk to him. I just don't know what I would talk to him about. I'd be like, telephones are not in the wall anymore. You put them in your pocket. I ruined that. I'm sorry. Can I have a redo? Redo? So, I don't know. It would be tough.
Lucy tells Wyatt that, hey, Kate dies today. And Wyatt's like, wait, why aren't you?
But did you see his face, yes, too? Like, he was like, oh, I'm preventing that in some way. And I was like, no, you have to let it happen. Today is her day.
Yeah,
and crazy.
I don't know. Maybe as a historian, I mean, seeing so much about the course of human history, maybe she's able to kind of take her out of that a little bit. So, because she's not really as hung up on that as Wyatt. Yeah. And she doesn't have the personal connection that Wyatt
exactly
does,
and also the fact that she's probably thinking, like, you saving one life could really ruin the timeline. You never know. Maybe she needed to die because of something that her work did later on down the road. If you did that, she does something completely different. That work doesn't get published or whatever, or she doesn't get remembered for that, and then someone will be inspired by her death, and then, you know, there's so many different scenarios. So I think Lucy's thinking of it from a logical perspective. He's thinking through an emotion.
That's true.
So
and we all know from Ashton Kutcher's film The Butterfly Effect.
Oh, here we go.
That's right.
Oh, of course.
That's right.
I love the references, Faye. Yes. Craig, you're on top of it. I love it.
So we get Lucy. What I liked is we didn't draw like the whole episode, like, are they gonna be able to get to the Hindenburg? What's gonna happen? They get right there to the landing of it, because it's gonna be landing just in about 5 minutes. They find Commander Rosenthal. And they say, hey, guess what? You got to find this guy. He has a Spanish flu.
Dr. Dre, Nurse Jackie.
We're from General Hospital. Boom! General Hospital.
This is the coolest thing, is because Frank does a General Hospital recap on our Soap Block Network on Sunday. So I was just
That's
like.
Right. Yeah. Ding.
Yeah, there I was so happy about that. I love that they didn't even give Rufus a name. He was just like.
Yeah, me. I'm just here. Okay.
I'm just like, don't worry about me. And yeah, they're like, he has the Spanish flu, you know, that killed like 700,000 people. Yeah, we need to. That's why he's in pajamas.
Yes.
He escaped, and we need to find him. And immediately they're like, oh, okay, we'll do everything we can, guys. Go find this guy. And I was like, wow,
that was quick.
That was, again, glad we have a historian who can remember what happened in that time era and was able to bring up an excuse real quick.
Yeah.
So
what I like the idea is that going back into the past, I think it takes a lot of the burden of trying to come up with an elaborate cover story, because you can just use modern day references back then and they won't know that you're really riffing Dr. Dre, Nurse Jackie, General Hospital. Mm-hmm. You're just saying names of celebrities and performers.
That was like the first thing she thought of was like, I can't think of any other Dr. Dre. And I was like, a rapper though? You thought of a rapper?
Look at that. Lucy Preston's got some layers to her.
I was like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I just thought it was really funny. I was like, there's so many doctors on TV. You could have picked anybody. Dr. House, Dr. Drake Ramore. I don't know. Yeah. Like, you could have picked anybody. But I love how, like, the first thing that, like, crossed your mind was Dr. Dre and Nurse Jackie, which is a TV show. Yeah. So I thought, I don't know. That was hysterical.
So everybody starts scattering to try to find Flynn. Wyatt, of course, sees Kate Drummond. Wrestles with her for a second, but then just tries to get her out of the way. And she is not handling
that. Well, I mean, women back in that era didn't. I mean, even though men were pushy back in that time, they also didn't. They didn't take any
crap.
They
didn't guff.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they were just, she's like, excuse you, I'm doing my job, you better not touch me. And I love how she wasn't, like, super strong either, because even when he was like, he's gonna blow, and he's, like, trying to hold her down, she's, like, doing one of these numbers.
Yes.
And she's like, let go of me! And I'm like, wow, you are not doing much there, girl. Yikes.
And we see Wyatt trying to save her life, because he thinks he's gonna blow, and the Hindenburg doesn't go off.
Which I thought was so interesting. Like, okay, how does history affect if the Hindenburg didn't blow up?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's interesting. So it lands and things kind of go on their way. Lucy does see Flynn heading into a hangar.
Yes, and she runs after him.
Yeah, and gets kind of cornered by one of his thugs.
Yeah, sadly enough, he didn't last to the pilot.
Because, Wyatt breaks in through as well, shoots him with the gun, brings his silencer back with him.
I didn't think he had a weapon on him. I found that...
Delta Force.
You know what? You're right. I should have always be prepared. I do agree with Lucy that it is dangerous to bring a futuristic gun to the Nazi era.
Yes.
Because
you don't want that ending up in the wrong hands,
Nope. Especially since, you know, technology is not even close to what it is now. So just imagining what it would look like when you got back. I don't even want to know.
And Wyatt has told them several times that if you do see Flynn, you don't get involved with him. You tell me, I'm going to deal with him. So you feel like... certainly, Wyatt has got a different set of marching orders than, or additional marching orders from somebody.
I feel like they all have different MOs, kind of. Like, we have Rufus, who's kind of working with Mason, you know, and trying to, I guess, get information, at least from what we're understanding is. Lucy's just kind of there because she's a historian and knows the ins and outs. And then, yeah, Wyatt, I don't know what his orders are, but it seems like he's just like, I'm here to protect and get the job done.
Yeah.
Per se.
And they see, like, Rufus has the idea of seeing the walkie-talkie on the person that they killed, so maybe I can use that to kind of track down where the walkie-talkie that Flynn has.
Yep, nope, and it was a detonator, I think.
Yeah, a bomb cap, what they were saying.
Something like that, yeah.
And so then Lucy starts putting the pieces together and figure out, like, oh, wait a second, at the Hindenburg, if it hadn't blown, was going to be doing another trip, and on that were supposed to be a bunch of really important people to history.
Which was nuts, because I was like, I didn't even think about what was going to happen after the Hindenburg landed, which I love that they said that, again, we were talking about how the ropes weren't wet, that didn't, they had them all coiled up mm-hmm. and stuff like that to be preventative. But I love how we found, I think, like the person who invented the helicopter and a couple other things that were.
A Rockefeller was going to be on there.
Yeah, like a lot of just really important people. And they're like, oh, then we'll just blow it up after.
Yeah. And so you feel like Flynn's plan is he didn't want to blow it up before. He wanted to get all these important people in history rather than, I guess, like to try to find them all separately. He knows one place where a bunch that were going to be at the same time.
But at the time, it didn't make sense to me because I was like, why are you trying to kill the person who invented the helicopter and a Rockefeller? What does that pertain to you or the boss that you're working for per se? Because I feel like he's not acting on his own. Kind of, I think he has someone who's either telling him to do it. Maybe they're the ones that have his wife and kid.
Yeah, there is certainly a larger agenda at play. Mm-hmm.
I should save these for predictions.
But what I like is that we see history changed, which is kind of cool. Absolutely cool. Because so many times in time travel shows, you end up seeing like when it certainly comes to a real life event. That usually it ends up happening the way it happened for some reason. There.
Yeah, that's just fate, I guess.
Yeah.
Saying that like today was the day that the Hindenburg had to blow up.
Yes.
One way or another.
And it ends up becoming just more of a story about the characters themselves, what they learned and how they're changed through this process. They actually succeed in changing history and things are completely different now.
I can't wait till we talk about this ending.
Oh, yes.
Like, there's a lot. I was like, why does the Hindenburg change this stuff?
So
confused.
As we get, we'll kind of rush through the end here a little bit so we can get through the stuff. But we find out that Flynn gets them set up, calls the cops on them, gets them arrested. While they're in prison, they kind of figure out a way, like, hey, how can we get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt notices that, of course, Lucy's wearing her modern-day bra, which she already commented on.
I would be in the same boat. I'm like, I ain't taking off my modern-day bra just because whatever. And I love how he was like, who's going to see you in your bra?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, do you have a freaking point?
Now, you know, of course, like, Lucy, because he gets her to take off her bra so he can take the wiring out of it to pick the lock.
But I hate how he, like, stared at her first and was just like, Obviously, he was trying to think, but, like, poor Lucy was just like, excuse you. We're in jail. Why are you looking at me like that? But I also felt bad for Rufus, though, because he had to be the one that did the distraction.
Yes, and he really, he's been already talking several times over this episode how uncomfortable he feels going through time as a man of color.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he kind of just lets that kind of, all that frustration vent at the police officer that calls him boy.
That rant was fantastic, though.
Yes.
I didn't even realize that three Michaels were really, like, prominent in black culture until he said it all in a row. I was like, oh, wow, okay,
yes.
I see you writers, unless that was Malcolm riffing, but like whoever did that was so smart. That was so cool, and I love how he talked about President Obama, and he's like, and I love that he didn't tell him that he wanted him to die. He wanted him to live a long life to see the change. So awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, I was a fan of that.
No, that was a really good speech, and but you can just see you know, how scary that has to be. Just like, because you see the cop instead of like, all right,
well,
that's how you want to talk,
as soon
I'm going to go
he
grab
like,
a...
Yeah, as soon as he smiled and backed up, I was like, that's not going to be good
no.
for him.
No. Yeah. He gets his buddy, at the billy clubs at the ready, they're about to lay a whipping down.
Oh, that's so scary. I loved how immediately Rufus was like, hey, guys,
yeah.
Everything's cool. Wyatt, please, Wyatt, hurry up. And then they pretty much laid the beat down on those two cops and
yes.
left. I thought they were going to take their uniforms to see if they can get out, but I guess they didn't really need it.
No, I mean, I guess back then, I guess he didn't have the security isn't as strict or secure as it
is. I mean, the fact that he used a bra underwire to get out of a lock. I mean, obviously he's well trained, but still, I was like, wow, that's one way to do it.
It's Delta Force, man. They teach you about that. How to use
that's
wire
gonna be
hangers
a running
and bras.
Theme. Hashtag Delta Force for everything that Wyatt does.
That's right.
Oh, he's being a jerk. Delta Force.
They make their way back over to the Hindenburg as it's taking off. We've got a bunch of well-known people that are going to be important to the history on board. Mm-hmm. And of course, Flynn's there as well. Walked past Kate in the hallway.
I love how she recognized him. Like, yes. Immediately, she didn't, like, she was like, oh, that's the guy that they were looking for.
Yeah.
Should I do something? Nah.
No, that's all right. But then when Wyatt runs into her again, she's freaking out just at Wyatt. And is like, wait, no, I'm trying to help.
I'm sorry, we're trying to catch that guy. Remember we were telling you about that. There's a bomb on the Hindenburg, and we need to find it.
And they find the bomb over in the pantry of that, and they only have 5 minutes left. And they want to get rid of it, but, of course, now the Hindenburg's taken off.
Yep.
Is this where they go, M as in Mancy?
Yeah. Oh. No.
Then Lucy has the idea of, like, hey, we're going to improvise, and they come in, and they grab a couple knives, and they hold the captain's hostage there. What was the group
that they used?
The Black Cross?
See, that's the other thing that I love about this show is going to make a lot of people use Google after the episode to look up things that happened.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So they end up getting the Hindenburg to land. Flynn's watching this. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I guess we're getting ready to roll out of here.
I guess. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the ending real quick.
Oh, yeah. So Flynn, they land there. Flynn's henchman, after he gets beaten up by Wyatt, there still pulls out his gun. Shoots a bullet randomly in there as Kate says, don't do it!
But I was like, oh man, I wonder if he's gonna... Oh, well, there it goes. Up in flames. And I love how quick it was, too, because of the fabric that was used. I mean, I'm not gonna give you complete details. I just know that it was very flammable.
Yes.
So, from what I remember from school. But yeah, like, it wasn't like it's a slow burn. No, that thing went up so quick, and then by the end of the episode, it was just the frame.
Yes.
Was left. I liked that.
That was
they stuck
really cool.
with that. That was awesome.
And in the cast of everybody evacuating the ship, we have Lucy come across Flynn for the first time, and they get a chance to talk. And Flynn basically says, hey, hold on a second here. You don't know what you're doing. This is really important. He basically says, I know who you are, Lucy.
Which is so creepy.
Dad's dead. Your mother is sick. You want to try to be like your mother, try to take her place, try to live up to her expectations there. How do you know this about me? Pulls out the book.
Yeah, that he was holding.
Yes, and we see that it's in Lucy's handwriting, but she hasn't written it yet.
So, I mean, obviously they know who he is, but I don't know if he's, like, a time traveler before, or he just went to the future, came back with all the stuff. Like, I don't understand his backstory, but I'm very intrigued to see what the hell happened.
Yeah, and basically Flynn just tells Lucy, you know, you have to ask him why they really chose you. Ask him what Rittenhouse means.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, Wyatt comes up and says, hey, you got to put her down. Flynn's holding her hostage.
I love how he's like, you're not going to shoot me. Well, now that you say it, bang.
Which I love, because so many times, like, the guy would put, you know, slowly lowering the weapon or whatever. Yeah. Nope. I mean, he just
shot
like,
him right in the neck.
Yeah. Takes a shot at him. Flynn shoots back, but Wyatt ducks out of the bullet and hits Kate. So, fortunately, Kate still dies.
Oh, that was
dies.
So sad. I love that it wasn't like she had, like, something prominent to say or, like, her last dying words. Like, she was... freaked out. She got shot, and she was in shock. She was panicking, and she died.
Yeah,
today was her day.
Today was her day. Sadly enough, but they go back to present day, and they do find out that the future has changed. The Hindenburg, of course, they crashed a day later. Mm-hmm. Only two people died: Kate and some lady that was burned beyond recognition. Which I'm wondering if that's going to play into.
I don't know,
future.
But I think it's going
to
be interesting.
Then they could figure that, like, the mission's got to continue. Lucy goes home, and instead of seeing her sick mom and her sister Amy. Sees her mom alive and well, working in the kitchen, cooking some food.
And Amy doesn't exist.
Amy does not exist. We've also found that Lucy's engaged, but not wearing her engagement ring.
Yeah, and I loved that people in the chat were like, I wonder who her husband is. I'm like, I would like to know. Or her fiancé. And I'm like, yes, I would like to know that too. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of questions which we don't have time to talk about, but I actually want to know what everybody... thanks, and definitely let us know in the comments and
so
tweet us.
So as we wrap up, folks, as always, we're so much time. There's so much time. We're traveling through time. We'll do this after show again. Check us out when we do the second version. We'll get into all this stuff.
Yes.
But in the meantime, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hop in the chat. As always, we love having you interacting with us during the show. Alexis is manning the chat, so she'll be able to answer any questions or comments that you may have. In the meantime, though, if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Alexis, where can they find you?
You can find me again all over social media at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. I'm also on a bunch of after shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I do Bob's Burgers on Sunday. This show, and then on Wednesdays I do Lethal Weapon as well, which is awesome. I'm not going to be there this week. I will definitely be there next week, but definitely tune in and talk to Kelly because he's fantastic and the show is awesome.
Oh man, and you can follow me on Twitter at Happy Go Jackie. I do a bunch of other after shows here. I mean, just open the door, I'm there, just haunting you everywhere you go on AfterBuzz TV. Until then, folks, until next Monday, Alexis and I will see you right here
for Timeless.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.